We're going to talk hockey. I think we might have to talk golf attire with Ray Ferraro from TSN now. Ray, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Are you still cold? Are you warm? Like you were wearing like a strutty tight shirt on the course today, I noticed.
It was yesterday, but it was supposed to rain, so I had that on under a sweater and a rain jacket. And then by about the fourth hole, I realized it wasn't going to rain, so I got rid of the rain jacket. But then I had the sweater on, and then it got hot, and then I didn't have a golf shirt. And then because Murph is a Dan Murphy from Sportsnet, a good buddy of mine, a good buddy of ours, is the way he is. He thought it would be a good idea to take a video of me doing a radio hit, and that's what I had. So I don't know. I guess it would be worse if I was a big fat guy, but you know, could be worse. I guess not proper attire, but that's all right.
Well, someone told me your pants are too short. I'm like, there's no way. We both know that's not happening.
Look, seriously, do we really want to get into this? Do we really?
I've been saving that up for days.
It's amazing how we can amuse ourselves, eh?
Oh, it's ready. Ray, you should see the stuff he writes down.
Nobody else even has to laugh, and you're like, oh, I love it. It's the best.
Well, the best is Ray. He'll say the line, and then he laughs before anyone else does, and usually because if you hear someone laugh, it's a lot harder not to laugh. So he likes to,
here's the other thing. Say nobody else, but Jason, say nobody else laughs. You're enjoying it. Too bad for the other people if they don't. Yeah. If they're not as sophisticated as you, eh, Strutty? For your
that's
humor.
Right. Yeah, that's it's a little deeper. It's a deeper yeah. Well of humor, right? It's not the usual.
That's exactly what it is. Something like that.
Oh man,
Ray. It's always good to get out. Alberta is going to be back to golf to normal next Tuesday. Yeah, that's nice. So that's good news for all of our golfers and lots of other things that are changing. So, keep getting vaccinated, people. The more vaccinations we have, the more opportunities we get to go do stuff, which is obviously key. Ray, Ken Holland today, some interesting thoughts from the Oilers GM. It felt like, you know what, their team obviously got improved some internally. They got to get some more scoring depth, you know, Captain Obvious stuff, of course. But he also said, like, without hesitation, very likely that there's going to be a buyout for the Edmonton Oilers, and you know, James Neal would seem the guy, and then Mike Smith coming back. So, like, do you think they can come back with Smith and Koskinen again? Like, does that not seem rather risky?
It does, but it does. You don't. I do believe you can use two buyouts.
Yeah.
There's two different windows. You can make one buyout early. I think that's just prior to the 25th or 6th of July, somewhere in there. And then there's one later on as well. It's possible to use two. I myself would not be comfortable with both Koskinen and Smith back, only because I think at age 40, it's not getting easier. It's getting harder to play goal. And even though Smith had a fantastic year, you would have to really, really hold your breath that he would be able to do it again, be healthy to do it again. And if he isn't, that Koskinen would be good enough to play a lion's share of the games. Don't forget, next year isn't 56 games, right? It's 82 games. So can Mike Smith play 40 games? Can he play 45? No more. Right? It's going to be hard to do more than that. So I'm of the mind that that position will change one way or another.
Yeah, I think there's got to be some kind of adjustment there. And you know, when you look at it, you know, from my perspective, the wingers of the Jets were much more or looked much more dangerous when they got the puck on their stick, and there really wasn't much from the Oilers. Is that something you think that it would be a focus point for Holland, maybe, you know, with the goalies?
So let's put it this way. If you can improve your wingers, you're more comfortable playing Draisaitl and McDavid apart. That's a pretty dangerous team if you're able to do that. Now, one of the other parts that that Ken was talking about was, you know, you've got to give room and understand that young guys are going to grow. So do you think Jesse Puljujarvi's a 13-goal guy next year, or do you think he's a 23-goal guy next year? Again, remember, it's 82 games, not 56. Will Kyler Yamamoto have a better year than this year? If you think so, well, then you're, you know, you're climbing a little bit of the depth just internally. You haven't done anything yet. So that's part of the evaluation that they're going to have to try and determine. They're going to have a pile of money, but does a part of that pile go to Adam Larson and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? And if it doesn't, then do you spend, how much of the money that you have do you spend replacing those guys? So it's all kind of one big pie, and you've allocated $20 million or $21 million to two guys already. You know that you got a big chunk of it coming for Darnell Nurse pretty quick. So while everybody's impatient about next year, they've got to extrapolate this whole thing out years because they know that they've got a big payday coming for Nurse down the road pretty quick.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. And I think, Ray, like, Thomas Tatar to me is your perfect forward option of a similar Tyson Barrie kind of one-year show-me contract. Because Thomas Tatar, for him, he had a little bit of a down year this year, similar to Barrie last year in Toronto. But prior to that, the guy was a consistent 20-goal scorer. And most importantly for Edmonton, he produced at 5-on-5, which the Oilers, you know, like, Nugent Hopkins being a really good power play player, hasn't produced a ton at 5-on-5. Like Zach Hyman, good producer at 5-on-5. Blake Coleman, good producer at 5-on-5. Like, when I look at the UFAs that are left wingers, Ray, like, to me, Edmonton's got to look at guys who can score 5-on-5 more than, you know, hey, it's important to score in the power play, but Edmonton needs 5-on-5 scoring. They got the guys who can score in the power play.
You know, consider the history of Tatar and Holland from Detroit. He would know him very well, would be comfortable with him. Like, if he is comfortable with him, he would be now, right? He knows him well enough after all these years. I know Thomas. He's a, like, he likes to score. He wants to score. He can make a play with better players. One thing you've got to be careful of is that when you look at guys that you project to play with either Draisaitl and/or McDavid, when one of the big boys coughs up the puck to them, like passes it to them, it's got to come back in one piece.
Yes.
Right. They need skill to play with. Now, it's not paramount that they're the most skilled guys in the world. I mean, Sidney Crosby had a field day with Chris Kunitz and Pascal Dupuis, but those guys played fast and straight ahead. It was a pretty rudimentary, simple game with, at the time, the game's best player. So I think McDavid needs somebody that he can give and go with a little better than others. You know, like, I wouldn't think Blake Coleman would be that guy, but I hear you. His scoring at 5-on-5 is, you can read it. And he plays a consistent game, which I think the Oilers got a lot out of a little this year. I know it was, a crushing way to lose, but going into the season, what do you think the percentage was that people had the Oilers even in the playoffs? Was it just over 50%? Was it 60%? It wasn't much higher. And so they did a lot of good things right. They had a lot of good things happen to them this year. I mean, it was we talked about Puljujärvi and Nurse. Those are breakout type years for those guys. And they're going to get, I mean, I don't know if Nurse is going to score 16 goals all the time, but the guy's a monster on the blue line. What if they get Klefbom back? And what if he's only 80% of Klefbom? You're still better off. So they've got a lot of moving chairs around here. The money's got a lot to do with it, because that'll give them the shop. You know, they've got a shopping bag that they can fill up. It's just going to depend on how much you have to allocate to each position.
Talking all things NHL with Ray Ferraro from TSN. Ray, I looked at that overtime. The third game where they were up by three, then it just kind of came unglued.
Yeah.
Do you think that they need someone there that has been through some of those situations. Like a guy who's won a Stanley Cup, not to tell everyone what to do, but just say, hey, guys, it's going to be okay and calm it down, because there wasn't really anyone on that bench to calm it down. And there weren't even fans making it louder.
Well, I found it interesting that, you know, of course, you guys just played at Winnipeg, so that's the easiest correlation to make. And Ken made that at the at his availability there, where he talked about the team that they had built in Winnipeg. So look at their fourth line. They got two guys that never score. Never, ever, ever. Nate Thompson and Trevor Lewis. But they go on the ice, and at the very least, they play the game to a standstill. Dave Tippett doesn't have that. They don't even have that reliability blanket. Those third and fourth lines were a crapshoot most of the year for them. That's one area you can improve upon rather easily and rather cheaply. You can find older guys that play with pace, find older guys that can kill penalties, find older guys that are reliable. Absolutely, that can be done. Some of the other things, like, you know, aside from the disgusting comments that Ethan Bear had to endure, I think that kid's a really good player. And so the mistakes that he made in games 3 and 4, that just goes into his tool belt. That's things he grows with. That's things he builds with. So now he has been there. Now, it hasn't been successful, but he has been there. And so there comes a little bit more experience they can look upon. If you're just talking about adding guys, Struddy, you can add older, reliable, cheaper guys, and you can do it pretty quickly and pretty easily. There'll be enough of those guys around.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, quickly, let's get to some of the series that are still ongoing. You've got the Islanders and the Penguins, obviously one of your former teams. Josh Bailey got a gift, but hey, Ray, just because you get a gift doesn't mean you cash in. So I give him credit for cashing in on that one in overtime to down Pittsburgh. What do you make of that series? And then Minnesota-Vegas, can the Wild come back?
Well, the Islander-Pittsburgh series to me is really predictable. The games are super tight. Nobody stretches out from the other team. A mistake here, a mistake here, that's it. Crosby was awesome in game one. I lost the series for a couple of games because I was focused more in on the other series going on, but he hasn't really broken out yet. They kind of need him to. You know, they need Gensel, Rust, Crosby. They need those guys. And in a tight series, that might be all you need to put you over the hump. Now, can Jerry bounce back? That was a kick in the pants to lose the last game as they did. As for Minnesota, I mean, they gave up 1,000 shots the other night, and they're still in the game. Their goaltending's been awesome. I don't think they can come back, though. I just think Vegas is too good.
Well, Ray, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the week. And, man, this offseason, it's going to be fascinating to see as we see the team slowly whittle down. And then, you know, the free agent market, you know, Zach Hyman hearing that he's probably going to test the free agent waters. Quickly, how much do you think he's worth? Like, what do you make of Zach Hyman?
Over 4, under 5. Okay. Had a career year. I love Zach Hyman. I watch him a lot over the last, you know, his entire career. I've been there in Toronto. And he's in incredible shape. He's strong. He kills penalties. He can play the net front on the power play. He doesn't need the puck a lot to be an effective player. Yet now this year, I thought he really took a stride about making plays with the puck, holding the puck longer to attempt a play instead of just chipping it back behind the net. I could easily see a player like that being really sought after by teams with really good players looking for a winger.
Like Edmonton.
Could be. Hey, by the way, you know, like Struddy was commenting on my pants and that. Struddy, I'm curious, like when you play, do you wear those really tight jeans when you play golf?
Oh, when I play? No, buddy, listen. There's material now that looks like jeans, but it's actually sweatpant material. That's what I wear, buddy. I gotta look good on the course.
How do you play? Like, do you play well? Do you like, do you have to worry about that side flip comb over, like flopping over when you shoot? Or
But I have to wear a head, a hat. I have to wear a head, obviously, but I got to wear a hat to protect it, right? So I got jeans. I got a matching jean hat I wear. I'm not always welcome at every course, but the ones that welcome me, I do look good on.
they see you come and they're like, not you in those clothes, sir.
Yeah.
Move it
I'm
along.
Sorry. Yeah, go in the back. You can polish the clubs back there.
Yeah, there you go. All right, boys, so we'll talk next Wednesday, I guess, eh? We'll be right into the second round by then.
Yeah, hard to believe. It'll be fun.